Welcome to the Late Late Show. While we're all in quarantine, well, I hope you all are in quarantine, we bring you another guest, and he's a returning guest. He's a lead Lakers writer for Bleacher Report, a capologist for Basketball Insiders. He features on NBA TV from time to time. And if that wasn't enough, he's also a co-host on the Hollywood Hoops podcast. It's Eric Pincus. How are you, sir? Did I miss anything out?
No, that's pretty much it as far as I could tell. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for coming on. I really do appreciate the time that you take to speak to me, and you have done a few times as well. So yeah, I really appreciate it.
No, of course. Happy to do it.
So how are you doing over there with the current situation with the virus and keeping in isolation? I hope that you and the family are keeping safe.
Yeah, we're doing the best we can, staying indoors. I was actually at the Celtics game versus the Jazz on, I forget what day that was, and was in the locker room with Donovan Mitchell, just about 8 feet from him, roughly. I was catching up with Jordan Clarkson, and he shares a locker space right next to Donovan Mitchell. Rudy Gobert was not in there at the time. And then on a Friday. On the next Tuesday, I was at the Lakers versus the Nets, where, again, the Nets came up with it. Two Lakers came up with the virus. So clearly the epicenter. I just happened to be in what you could argue to be the wrong place at the wrong time. But fortunately, 2 weeks have passed since then, and so haven't shown any symptoms. And just in case, I've stayed indoors. And now that I'm clear of that, I'm still going to stay indoors. I go outside and walk the dog and, play basketball on the side of the house, on the driveway. I did go to the bank, just the ATM machine, the cash machine, just to get some money out at some point. But that's like the extent of where I go at this point. My wife has been doing the shopping as far as the groceries, and she's doing her best to stay home. So we have three girls, three daughters. So everyone's kind of cooped up and trying to make the best of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, going back to the start, I mean, it must have been quite scary being like exposed to the virus potentially in that way. There must have been all sorts going through your mind when you hear that these different people are getting, tested positive for it, and then you were in close proximity with them. It must have been quite surreal. But with the time passing, you know, you should be clear on that front now, shouldn't you? It's just whether it flares up in another way. It's quite a tricky time for all of us. We don't really know where we can go, who we can speak to, who we can't speak to. It's like a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's surreal. And the thing is. Not everyone gets symptoms, so you could become a carrier of the virus and not even know it, and in which case it's possible I already had it and got through it and just didn't develop any symptoms, and that's possible. I think most people develop some level of symptoms. Other than a couple of days of allergies I get around this time of year, I never showed anything that resembled, I never got a fever, never had a cough or shortness of breath, and I even got what's called a pulse oximeter, which is OXIMETER, which is basically a little clip you put on your finger, and it measures how much oxygen is in your blood. And the idea being is that it won't tell if you're a carrier or anything like that, but if you are starting to have an infection in your lungs, your lung capacity is going to reduce. Mm-hmm. So each morning, me and the family, we all just take that little test, and everything's been holding up. So I haven't had any sort of lung issues. So far, so good. It's not something that would tell you if you have it, though. So it's not to say that it's like a test or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But at least gives you a warning that maybe you didn't notice that you're short of breath. And that's the kind of world we're living in, where you're sort of doing these medical, tiny little medical tests each day, like it's nothing. I'm taking like zinc and things that are supposed to be good for antiviral, just minerals. Just trying to do little things, and certainly washing the hands and sanitary wipes. When we get the mail, we wipe down the mailbox or whatever, or grab it with gloves or whatever. When you get gas in the car, my wife had to go and wipe it all down and all that. So put all the clothes when you come in, when she comes in, she throws everything in the washer and dryer. It's a different world right now. It's very odd.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I'm glad to hear that you've got past all of that with the exposure with the teams and players, and that your family are healthy as well. That's great to hear. What we'll do is we'll jump into a bit of NBA talk. So we'll lean towards that direction in terms of the suspension. And I do want to pick your mind a little bit, because obviously with what you do for Bleacher Report, what you do for Hollywood Hoops, I read what you write for Bleacher Report, and I listen to Hollywood Hoops, and I think you're the best within your field in terms of breaking it all down. It is truly excellent. I really want to pick your brain with a few things. So with the...
Appreciate it.
The potential remainder of the 2019-20 season in whatever format that is, what do you personally think will happen in terms of a continuation? Do you think it'll be with a regular season? Do you think it'll be straight into the playoffs? Will it be a condensed postseason series? What do you personally think will happen?
Well, I think everything is in discussion. The best thing for the league would be to not cancel any games. And as of right now, they have not canceled any games. And there's been some talk that they can start deducting money from player checks that they've committed to paying. Players typically get paid on the 1st and the 15th of each month, and that the 1st will be a full check. But the league hasn't committed to the 15th. If they haven't committed to the 15th, it means they're considering canceling games, because by the rules, they can't dock players for games that are rescheduled. They can only dock players for games that are canceled. So I expect that if they do need to, if they're going to go down that path, they might start with just canceling a few games. Why cancel a lot, right? There's no reason to until you have a better feel. Now, they may have more information and more science and have a better feel than I do as to what is realistic. But I could see them canceling maybe 3 games and start deducting 3 games worth of money from each player's check. For someone like LeBron James, that's in the neighborhood of $400,000 per game. So you're talking about deducting $1.2 million from LeBron's check. So it's not a small amount. I don't think they want to do that. I think the goal is to hold everything. But as you start to break down how it would look, like the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, put out like a recommendation that no more than 50 people gather in one event. Anything bigger than that is not a good idea. Now, it's not a law, but it's a recommendation. And I wrote an article on Bleacher Report just the other day that kind of broke down what that would look like. And the reality is, I don't even see how you could get to 50, because you have, not only do you have the players, which would amount to at least 30 players, right? I mean, if you count the two-way players, maybe you could say, okay, only bring the active players, which is 13, and the others have to stay home. Still, that's 26. That's more than halfway there. And then you have the coaches, and say maybe you say you can only have the head coach and one assistant. And officials, you're going to have 3. You're going to need the table, right? The ones who do the shot clock and the scoreboard and the official scorer. And then they have a liaison to the replay center back in New Jersey. And then you have like some level of just doctors, trainers. You have to have a team doctor there. You have to have the trainers there. You have all of the people who prep the players before the games to get them ready to go. I mean, it's like it very quickly, you're well over that number. I could easily get up to 100 people with broadcast and everything. And I don't even know if media is going to be there. Maybe they can't let any media in other than the broadcast crew, camera people. So it'd be very taxing, and they would have to make sure that not just those 20, whatever, let's say 30 players are healthy, right? And that they're safe, and that they're, none of them have any, they've been isolated, quarantined, they clearly don't have it. And you need to house them in such a way that they are not in danger of going outside and picking it up. But it's not just the players, it's all those people that we talked about. They would need to go through the same precautions, because any one of those players or people or refs or whatever, one person could just infect the whole league again, just like that. And that would shut everything down. And so they don't want to start it up only to have it shut down again. They want to do it right. That line of thought, how do you do that for 30 teams, right? All those restrictions, all those people who have to be isolated and to a degree quarantined and tested. And so my thought is do it in a centralized location. And if there's one place that the NBA has experience playing, it's in Las Vegas every summer in Summer League. They have the T-Mobile Center, which is a NBA quality arena that they don't use for basketball, at least NBA at this point. And then they have the Thomas and Mack, which is the where over at UNLV, the college over there, they have a full arena, and then they have a smaller gym where they do summer league. And then outside, I think it's the Cox Pavilion, I believe it is, where they have a few courts as well, three courts. And you don't necessarily need to shoot the games, you know, play the games in these big arenas. You could play them on the practice courts. I'm just saying you need courts, period, because each one of these teams is going to need practice time. They're going to need training camp. They're going to need at least a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, just to get back, because they're going to if it takes 2 months to get back to basketball, right? Like they stopped playing earlier this month. Let's say we shoot for May at best, or June. It's a health risk, not from a virus point of view, but from just players being out of shape. I mean, these guys need to get back into the best of shape so that they can actually compete at a high level. So I think a centralized location where they're all staying at hotels that are quarantined, and all the staff who are there to support them and make sure they have food are quarantined and probably stay at the hotel as well. I mean, I went down the rabbit hole and just thought it through, and I could see that being an extreme. And again, like, can you even do that for 30 teams? How advisable is it? Maybe it's best to cut the league in half and do 16, not quite half, but and just do the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you're minimizing how many players need to be taken care of and how much support staff need to be there to support them. So that, to me, I think is the idea of where the NBA is going. And it's just a matter of, is it safe to do everything I just described? And I'm sure they've got other ideas that go well beyond what I'm thinking about. They have plenty of high-level, intelligent people who are paid to do this full-time, and this is all they do, is figure out problems like this. So they'll probably come up with a solution that makes sense. I just think this is like a model for how it could look and the kind of issues that they face.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I was listening to that on the latest Hollywood Hoops podcast as well, and then reading about it in your article as well. And it's a really interesting concept of it coming to a central location like that. It's just, when you break it down, especially the way you have done there, is absolutely fascinating, because all these logistical challenges come in. And initially, when, you know, maybe just the general fan, they think, oh, just get the players on the court, play the game. But then, like you said, you've got the officials, you've got the staff, you've got the coaches, you've got the broadcast team, you've got the hotel staff, all these different elements come in. I think on the Hollywood Hoops podcast, you brought in like the catering staff and you know, the cleaning staff, people like that. It would have to be complete isolation with all these individuals, like no one in, no one out, just really strict, limited down to the bare bones. And then you have mentioned as well the players away from their families, you mentioned on the podcast as well. And
yeah, well, I mean, just speculating on that, the strain of taking care of one person is going to be a lot. So every person you have to take care of, you're going to need multiple people to make sure that everything is there, all the food requirements, all of everything it takes. It may be 2-3 months or however long this lasts that everybody involved has to commit to going without their families. Because if you've got kids and, you know, taking care of kids, locking them into hotel rooms, you know, how do you occupy them? I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, or I'm not, you know, it's cold and it's cruel to keep someone away from their family for a period of time. But I don't know if the league can continue if the players have their families there and they've got to provide play areas and something to occupy the kids for 2-3 months. It's a very, you know, this is a very, if we were talking about, you know, a few hundred bucks, you know, whatever, or a few thousand dollars, we're talking about maybe $1 billion or $2 billion worth of revenue that's at stake here. Mm-hmm. It's worthwhile for the players to get to be able to earn the rest of their money. They need to be able to do what they need to do to make that happen.
Definitely, yeah. And in terms of, obviously, that's the challenges of getting this season back. But what impact does this have on the league moving forward? So could you talk us through how it affects next season's salary cap, a potential start date, the draft? There's all them different elements that come into play.
Right. Well, the league is frozen, so everything is pushed back. And technically the season ends on June the 30th and the next season starts on July the 1st. So there's a reasonably high chance that we will not be able to finish the season in time. And if that's the case, then what happens? Because the collective bargaining agreement is written as it's written. The answer would be is that the players cannot change it and the league cannot change it, but together they can collaborate and agree to change it. And they could agree to anything they want. So the rules that I can go by are in writing, but that they have the power to rewrite the rules to accommodate this situation means that whatever my analysis is, it can be completely out of the box, totally irrelevant, because they come up with something totally different. And I think the first step is agreeing that the season will end at a later date, and maybe August or September or whatever it is, or they just leave it open-ended, which means you would probably push the draft back, because the draft is one of the biggest trade days of the year. There's the trade deadline, there's the draft, and I think the draft may actually have a higher volume than the trade deadline at this point, even if a lot of them are just small trades of like second round picks moving around. And then you have free agency, and there's a lot of trades around free agency. But the thing is that teams can't make trades during the season. Well, if their team is active, they can't make a trade. And since everybody is technically active, it doesn't make sense to hold the draft in June if the season isn't over yet. So that would get pushed back, as with Summer League. Summer League could become the Fall League, and it could actually be canceled. And unfortunately, it depends on how things go, simply because if the season runs through September and the next season is supposed to start at the end of October, that doesn't make a lot of sense either. I could see next season being pushed back to as late as Christmas or right around there. That's what they did in those lockout seasons. That's always the kind of the drop dead date, is to make sure you have games as of Christmas. So next season could be postponed, and I think that's fine. I mean, there has been talk of at least ideas of what if you move the season back. This was something I saw in Boston at the Sloan Analytics conference, the MIT Sloan conference, mm-hmm. where Steve Koonin, who is an executive with the Atlanta Hawks, suggested, and it was sort of a brainstorming session, suggested moving the season back anyway because the NFL has its time, and why compete with them? The mainstream audience doesn't really start watching basketball until December anyway. So why not start then? And then there's no real activity over the summer other than some baseball, and that's not really as much of a competition, a direct competition for the NBA. So it's an idea that maybe happens organically. It's not something the league was ready to do. And most negotiations between the players and the union, sorry, the players in the league, don't happen until it's time to work a new collective bargaining agreement, which is not until like 2024, I believe. But since they're at the table, maybe now would be the time to say, okay, we'll do this and we'll start next season late and we'll do it and we'll finish it late. And maybe now that we just have a new way of doing business now. Maybe this is just the best time to do it, simply because nature in the world has caused that. As far as the salary cap, the challenge is at this point, we don't know how much money is going to be lost. But I think it's safe to assume if games are canceled regular season and we just have the playoffs and everything that's gone on, they could lose up to $1 billion or 800,000, or some conservative estimates might be 500,000. I think that's way too low. But we just don't know. And let's say, just because it's a round number, 1.2 million, the players get basically half of that. That's their agreement, more or less, that they split the money with the league. And so that's $600 million that the players lose. And how do you account for that? The way you would do that is you would lower the salary cap, divide that by 30. You would lower it by 20 million. It's 30 million, 30 teams. So, I mean, sorry, there's 30 teams. You divide it by 30. 20 million per team would take it from the projected 115 million down to 95 million. If I'm way off and the math is twice as much, and if it was 2.4 billion, let's say there's no playoffs, that would be all the way down to like 75 million, which is crazy to think about. Everyone would be in the tax. Every team would be in the tax. There wouldn't be any spending money. It would be so constricted. It would be outrageous, and it would produce problems where it would lower the next year's cap, not this season, not not the next season, but the one after that would be lower because of kind of a cascading result. And it could be 3 or 4 years till the league is back in balance. So all that taken into account, we go back to the point that the players and the league can agree to anything they want. They can rewrite things. They can do something different entirely. And in 2016, the union rejected the notion of cap smoothing, which was the national TV deal kicked in, and there was a gigantic raise in income, and the salary cap jumped $24 million. And the league wanted to artificially keep the cap down, make sure the players got their money. They just wouldn't raise the cap that much. They would cut a big check after the season for the difference. So raise the cap by like $6-8 million instead of 24. And yes, you're being shorted, but we'll cut you a check. We'll give a gigantic check to the union and they could distribute it however they want. They'd probably give it to every player. The union didn't believe in that. But now we're talking about, let's say it was a $24 million loss in drop in cap, just to go.
We just had some connection errors there, so we are back with Eric. We'll just let him carry on from where he left off. So he was speaking about the NBA taking a few years to potentially level out.
Right, but the league, and it goes back to our earlier point, that the league and the players can agree to anything they want. They can change how the system works just to accommodate this emergency so that we don't have the next few years with such difficulty. And it kind of goes back to what happened in, or rather what didn't happen in 2016, when the TV deal jumped and pushed the salary cap up $24 million because the league had a much more lucrative television deal. The NBA itself wanted to artificially lower the cap so it didn't jump up so dramatically, and the union didn't want to even consider that. The idea was, instead of bringing it up by 24, maybe bring it up by $8 million. And by not agreeing to that, that's what opened the door for Kevin Durant to join the Warriors and threw the league out of balance as much as it did. And so many players got contracts that were unreasonable based on their production. And it didn't really benefit the players who were already under contract because they already had contracts. What the league wanted to do is, okay, we'll pay. What if we raise the cap to $8 million and if we're short $16 million or whatever, what we'll do is we'll cut a check to the players union and they'll just you'll distribute it to all the players. So everybody will get a share, including the players who were under contract, but they said no. And so only the players who were free agents benefited. Some got extensions or renegotiations, but by and large, it was not a, if there's any flaw on the record of the union, Michelle Roberts and her leadership, it's this decision that I don't agree with. And a lot of people don't agree with. I would say otherwise they've done quite well. And I respect a lot of what she's done and how we've avoided lockout. So I don't want to pile on her. But this one issue I have with her decision. But now that we're looking at it the other direction, what if we're talking about the cap dropping by $24 million? And now the league is saying, if they're saying, why don't we go to cap smoothing? That's a lot more appealing to perhaps to Michelle Roberts, in my guess, in that, okay, now it's protecting the union and protecting the cap from dropping so much. So perhaps the league already takes out 10% of everybody's check, every player's check, for what's called escrow, just to make sure the league balances. And at the end of the year, if the players didn't get enough, they get their money back. If they got too much, the league will keep that. Maybe increase that escrow to 20% or 30%. Maybe canceling regular season games and taking some of the money back from the players now is the better way to go. And we'll have to wait and see how the league settles, how the union settles, but together in agreement, they can really agree to do almost anything.
Yeah, and it's really interesting the way you break it down. I mean, personally, I could hear you speak about it for a very long time, and it's interesting how the effects that are coming up now, and then where a lot of people, the majority of people, are looking at it short term, as in when the NBA will return. But there's so many different elements and challenges that arise in the coming years because of this suspension that we're a few weeks into, let alone if it lasts a few more months, which realistically it probably could. And it's really interesting to hear you break it down like that, especially with it being, it could be a fair few years before we see the NBA its usual self, couldn't it, really?
Right. I mean, the implications financially could be significant. This summer is not necessarily a gigantic free agent summer. But it could impact someone like Anthony Davis, where if the cap is going to drop significantly, he would actually be better off taking an extension before the end of the year with the Lakers than going to free agency, which is the opposite of how it was before this situation. It impacts Ben Simmons and Jamal Murray directly because they signed extensions, max extensions. And what that means is their contract just says max, and the max was projected to be, I think they were going to make in the neighborhood of $29 million or something like that in their first year. And that might drop to 25 or 24. So they'll stand to lose significant money, but that's just this summer. It's the one after that where then it's the summer of Giannis, where so many teams are gearing up to make a run at him, and where the Bucks want to give him an extension this summer. If he doesn't take it, that's where everyone is going to be. Everyone in the league is going to be waiting to see what happens with Giannis. And all of these kind of future questions that we can predict now, they are sort of thrown for a loop because we just don't know what the economic situation is going to look like. And if it's dramatically lower, it's going to change things on many fronts. I mean, in a way, a higher salary cap would give Giannis a supermax contract with Milwaukee that's so high that maybe it's hard for him to turn it down, even if he was considering leaving. Whereas if it drops enough, then maybe it's, yeah, it's still significant money, but maybe it's close enough where it maybe may become more worthwhile to make a change, understanding that players also make a lot of money from their shoe deals and from marketing and other things. And if he was in a different market, not to say that Milwaukee's not a great city, but he may want to stay there for the rest of his career. But if he doesn't, he has the opportunity to make up the lost money in salary, especially if the salary cap drops, if he goes somewhere else. So he won't make as much from the NBA team, but he may be able to make more in total. So these are things to talk about, think about. Obviously, we would all like clarity. Right now, we're sort of living in uncertainty, but I think that's kind of apropos because the whole world right now is in some level of uncertainty about where we're going. You know, hopefully we'll all get through it. As much of us will get through this as healthy as possible, because obviously this is, you know, devastating situation. League isn't going to proceed until they know it's safe, just like none of us should be proceeding with our normal lives until there's some level of safety.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's you've broken it down in an excellent way, and certainly educated myself on a few things that I wasn't even aware of, and the listeners as well, most certainly. What we'll do is, obviously it's quite heavy at the moment with all the speculation as to what's going to happen with the NBA, and then we're all living in this new world now that we're growing accustomed to, no matter where you are in the world as well. So we're going to move into a little bit of a quiz now and have a little bit of fun. Are you okay with that?
Of course.
Yeah, so I'm calling it the quarantine quiz, okay? And it's just this or that, general questions. There's a few Lakers ones in there, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so do you prefer listening to music or podcasts?
Personally, I like listening to music. The answer being that I spend so much time talking about basketball and writing about basketball that I kind of like to have my brain turn off a little bit and just sort of enjoy music. So given the choice, usually it's music.
Yeah, that's understandable. Online shopping or in-store shopping?
Right now, it's all online, right? I mean, even online, there's a delay. If you go to Amazon and want to get, I needed some toner for a printer, and it was like, oh, it'll come like in mid to late April. So I had to find somewhere else to get it. Day-to-day, beyond this crisis, there are certain things you can't buy online. One of them is basketball. I don't know if you order a basketball, you're going to get what you get. But if you go to the store, you can actually put your hands on them, and the same model of basketball will have a different grip. It just feels different, and you have to find one that feels right. And so for buying a basketball, absolutely 100% in person.
Okay. Cats or dogs?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very allergic to cats. I'm allergic to dogs, but not so bad that I actually have a dog we've had for about 3 years now. The first dog I've ever had. And I had a terrible allergies a couple weeks back. Because when allergy season comes, my resistance is just lowered because I'm fighting it all the time. But I can manage with the dog that we have. But cats, forget about it. I'm a mess. I cannot handle. I like cats. I think they're. I used to play with cats. I had a girlfriend who had a cat. Whatever. But at some point, my allergies just became overwhelming.
Ah, okay. And who's the greatest Laker ever?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think now that, you know, we've lost Kobe, I think he's going to go down as the greatest Laker ever for what he means, for what he did, and for what he ended up representing in the end. And I think you could argue Jerry West, because he's the one who got Kobe and Shaq and helped keep together and make sure that the Magic era, he didn't start the Magic Showtime era, but he did a lot to really put that second half of that run together. But now he is with the Clippers and he was with the Grizzlies. So I think if anything, that's diminished in Shaq. You could say how great he was. He played for other teams. You could definitely argue Magic, but his run as vice president of operations or whatever his title was, maybe that not drops him down a tiny notch. You know, Kareem won a ton of titles, but I think at this point, you probably got to go with Kobe.
Okay. And on the topic of Kobe, number 8 Kobe or number 24 Kobe?
I mean, I'll go with 24, because that was the mature grown up Kobe who I really related to and got to know a little bit more with my time. I wasn't around as much as a journalist. I was for some of 8 of when he was wearing number 8, but most of my coverage of Kobe was when he was 24. So that's where that's the Kobe I knew a little bit better. So I'll go with 24.
Okay. Apple or Android?
Android. I like Apple. I started on an Apple II Plus in a long time ago, which is a very old computer when I was a very young kid. But very quickly became more of a PC guy and PC and Android. So I like the iPhone, but I like what you can do more with the Android system.
Yeah, I agree. A horror film or a comedy film?
Ooh, that's more of a mood thing. I don't mind a good horror movie. I probably prefer comedy. And if I would watch horror, I would want it to have a strong element of comedy to sort of break the tension. So probably comedy above horror, but I'm open-minded.
Okay, a mix of both by the sounds of it. Okay. A movie marathon or a TV show binge?
Probably a TV show binge. Probably catch up on certain series. It's fun to go through some old movies. I have some kids. I actually watched with my 16-year-old daughter, I watched Splash last night, which is a 1984 movie, I think it was, with Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah, where she's the mermaid. It's a classic, and she enjoyed it thoroughly. So, you know, but generally speaking, probably want to go through and watch TV shows.
Oh, okay. And whilst we're on the topic of that, we'll round up the podcast. And obviously, whilst we're all isolating in quarantine, everyone's watching movies and TV shows like you just explained there with your family. What are your top 5 movies / TV shows for surviving the quarantine? It doesn't necessarily have to be in order, but have you got some classics on your mind? Are you watching things at the moment? What would it be if you were going to put together a little list?
Well, I mean, mostly it's been trying to catch up on the ones that I've missed. But the shows I've been watching, I actually went through a show called Kidding on Showtime. I think it's on Showtime. No, I don't know. It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon Prime, I think, or maybe, I don't know, I might be getting that all wrong. But it's the show with Jim Carrey, and it's like a very bittersweet, emotional comedy. It's not an easy watch, but it is, because it does have a lot of sadness in it, but I thought the payoff through season 2 was really well earned. Of course, I have to catch up on certain, I like Star Wars, so I was watching the Clone Wars series, which is, they're releasing new episodes to just like one last season, but I actually started up at the beginning of the season 1. I think there's like 5, 6, 7 seasons or something. I forget how many seasons. And I'm just trying to catch up because I never got through the whole thing because I was watching it. And I think they pulled it off of whatever it was that I was watching it on, Netflix or something, because it was moving to Disney Plus. So I never got through the whole series to begin with. So I'm going back to watch that. I watch Fleabag from time to time. I think that's brilliant. Let's see, what else am I watching? At some point I was watching Seinfeld's and like Arrested Development and other comedies like that. I mean, there's just too many to name. I've got to catch up on Better Call Saul, which is, of course, the Breaking Bad prequel. Too many. I don't know if I've gone over the list or under the list.
No, that's fine. With Star Wars, have you seen The Mandalorian yet?
Yeah, definitely enjoyed that.
I thought that was really good as well.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson is supposedly joining as Ahsoka Tano, who's from Clone Wars, who's an animated character that has yet to be portrayed with a real life actress. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that's great casting.
Yeah, definitely. And that rounds everything up, really. Thank you so much for jumping on the podcast and speaking to me. I really appreciate it. Obviously, we had the little glitch in the middle, but I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm sure our listeners have, and it's been great having you.
No, of course. Happy to do it anytime.
Before we go, do you want to let people know where they can find you on social media? Have you got different platforms you want to shout out? Any work you want to share that you're currently working on?
Well, sure. Of course, you can find me at Eric, E-R-I-C, Pincus, P-I-N-C-U-S, on Twitter. And I post most of my stuff there. And then I do have an article. My most recent one at Bleacher Report is entitled How the NBA Could Resume Amid Coronavirus Shutdown. And that's really where I break down a lot of what we discussed. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Hollywood_hoops. You can catch my stuff at Basketball Insiders, where I publish all the player salaries and work there on it, right there. I won't be doing any NBA TV for some time because I'm not flying out to Atlanta and traveling, and there's no games and whatnot, so, and there's no transactions, so they probably don't need me to comment on things that aren't happening. But that's pretty much it. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Like I said, I really do appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. And it's happened a few times now as well. So, we really do appreciate it. And I'm sure our UK and European listeners really do as well. You provide excellent coverage of the game and, you know, the front office element of it as well, like the finances and things like that. It's really helped educate me as I've learned to love and my understanding of the game's grown. So, thanks so much for the coverage.
Of course, happy to do it. It's if I can help people understand the game behind the game, because it's so many of the decisions that are made in the NBA have to do with money or preparing a team's books so that they can go after a big star. It's an important part of understanding why things are going on in the NBA.
Definitely. Well, I'll leave you to it. I'll let you carry on with your day. I'm coming to the end of my day, as I'm sure you're possibly hitting full flow. So I'll let you go. Thanks again for coming on, Eric. It's really been a pleasure. Stay safe. And thanks to our listeners for checking out this episode of The Late Late Show. We'll catch you next time.
All right. Thanks for having me.